It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What is going on, guys? It is Rob. Video Game Waffle is back again after, let's call it, an extended break. It has been a while. Good news is I've been playing plenty of video games and I have lots to talk about, of course. I've been just doing other things and that's kind of taken up my time. So I've been, all this time, I've been wanting to get episodes out, but I've just kind of fallen out of the rhythm. And we're back here now, so happy days. Today, if you can't read, I'll tell yous, we're talking about Resident Evil 3, which came out in 2020. It is a sequel to the awesome Resident Evil 2 remake. Of course, both of these are based on the old 90s Resident Evil games, which are some of my favourite video games of all time. Probably one of my favourite series, I think. The Resident Evil series is one of the most consistent, I think. Let's just forget about 6. Let's forget that happened. Let's forget about Chris punching boulders in Resident Evil 5. Take them out. Let's forget about the soft locks in Code Veronica and weird things that went on in that game. Take all that out. Probably one of the most consistent franchises, and I think they've managed to stay really, really relevant the whole time. I think they're one of the best, guys, and they're one of my favourites. So, yeah, I'm going to talk about the Resident Evil 2 remake in a different episode because, to be quite honest with you, it's one of my favourite games of all time. It's a game that if I do cover, I want to give it, like, the proper respect. And what that means is I want to sort of really break it down and talk about the nitty-gritty. Hopefully I'll find someone who is just as passionate about that game and maybe the two of us will talk about it together. Today, though, Resident Evil 3 was quite a quick game. It's a short game. It's another game that I completed in the throes of COVID a couple of months ago, and I've been wanting to talk about it since because I knew it's a quick game. It's something that anyone can pick up and play. You don't really have to have played Resident Evil 2 to play this either, which is another reason why I'm going to talk about it, because if you do like this episode and you say, you know what, I'm going to give Resident Evil a go now. You could really start at Resident Evil 3 if you like, and then go and play Resident Evil 2. There's no real reason why you can't. So, yeah, that's why we're talking about this today instead of the Resident Evil 2 remake first. So you're playing as Jill Valentine in this game. Jill Valentine, one of the main Resident Evil protagonists. She is a member of S.T.A.R.S. She was in Resident Evil 1. Had some great lines in that. She almost became a Jill sandwich, as we know. We've talked about Resident Evil 1, of course, on this podcast. So, yeah, this was kind of a weird move. Resident Evil 2 remake came out, was very successful. Then Capcom were like, hey guys, you like that? Resident Evil 3 is coming out next year. And everyone was kind of saying, like, what? Really? They're going to get out that full game in a year? A lot of people were worried it was rushed. A lot of people thought it wasn't going to live up to the original and all that sort of thing. In this episode, we'll get into whether or not it actually delivered on those promises. So to give you a little bit of background, I played this game way back in the 90s, or maybe early 2000s, I think it was. And at the time, you know, Resident Evil had me terrified of zombies as a kid and stuff like that. At the time when I played this game, I never felt like it was a scary game. I always felt like Resident Evil 3 was more of an action game. Like, I never really felt too much in danger. Ammo was kind of a plenty. It was very fun to replay the game. In fact, it was the first Resident Evil that I had really done that with. Now, maybe that was me getting older. I was getting into my teen years. Maybe it was a little bit of that, and it was just as scary to other people. I don't know. But for me, it felt very sort of action focused, as well with the Mercenaries mode, which we'll talk a little bit about later as well. That kind of sort of, for me, solidified that the game was more intended to be a sort of an arcadey, more action, more fun version of Resident Evil. So I was always wondering, when this one came out, would it have those things? Would it have that feel, or would it go with the super scary, I may say, Resident Evil 2 remake vibes? Resident Evil 2 remake, for me, is one of the scariest games that I've really played in the last 20 years. I don't really get scared from games anymore. I think the last one would have been like Alien Isolation. It was a game that I was kind of like, fuck, this is kind of scary. Resident Evil 2 has that vibe. So I was actually a little bit on edge, because I had a love-hate thing with Resident Evil 2, where I loved to play it, but I was also like, fuck, this Mr. X guy's going to be following me around and shit. And I was wondering, would I have this, especially with Nemesis? I think what we'll talk about in this episode is we're just going to talk about some of the main talking points. We're not going to break down each little individual thing and stuff. But one of the big things I think that makes Resident Evil 3 stand out over Resident Evil 2, both new and old versions, is the addition of Nemesis. So Nemesis is this bioweapon boss developed by Stars. He is sent to hunt Jill Valentine throughout the game. He's kind of, I wouldn't say he's ever present, but his the threat of him always looms. So you always feel like you're kind of in trouble. And the same is true for Mr. X. So they're kind of a stalker enemy. This stalker enemy is a kind of a type of enemy that Capcom has sort of developed really in Resident Evil 7. And have sort of run with now since. They've been in every game since. I think his name is it Jack in Resident Evil 7? That's ridiculous that I can't remember his name. But he was the first sort of stalker. Then in Resident Evil 2, Mr. X kind of went ham on that idea. The sound design in Resident Evil 2 made it seem like he was always close as well, because they had those like creaking footsteps up above you when you were playing and stuff like that. And then even, you know, Resident Evil Village has the weird baby Alcina Dimitrescu as well. So they do love this Nemesis, this stalker type of enemy. Is Nemesis the best one? It was kind of where Capcom began to flirt with the idea back all the way back when. I think so. I think he's a bit... It was, for me, there was more of an impact from Mr. X in the original. In the remake. This is a very confusing discussion here between remakes and originals of four games, really. But Mr. X for me was more scary, I think. You know, Nemesis is... Does he feel a little bit more lethal, maybe? Yeah, he has guns, stuff like that. He can use guns. Mr. X can't, really. At least from what I can remember. And yeah, he's basically just badass bioweapon. He's just... all he wants is to kill Stars members. And so, it all, you know, poor old Brad famously gets killed by Nemesis fairly early on. So, yeah, that's what he does. That's all he's there to do. And in that way, it's quite black and white. You have to kill Nemesis. You have to get away from Nemesis. So I think his addition was pretty good. Was it a different flavor to Mr. X? Yes. Was it different to what I expected? Yes. In the original Resident Evil 3, the paths were kind of branching. Like, you could choose to fight Mr. Nemesis at different times. In this game, you can't really. In the original, you used to get rewarded for, like, killing Mr. X, or Nemesis, rather. in a battle, like if you quote unquote killed him, you might get like a cool pickup that would basically make your life easier further down the line. Oftentimes I ran away, though. I wasn't trying to fucking fight Nemesis back in the day. I was too young for all that. I was out of there, son. But in this game, it doesn't really give you as much of that flexibility, which is kind of a shame, because I think that was one of the things that made Resident Evil 3 original kind of stand out. Another thing that made the original stand out that is omitted is the Mercenaries mode, which I really, really enjoyed in the original. So it's a shame to see that not make the cut as well. So with that cut, does it really make it worth it, this game? Is it worth looking at? I think a lot of people at the time, there was a lot of uproar of, oh, it doesn't have Mercenaries mode, it doesn't have this and it doesn't have that. And so going into it, I was wondering, like, is this going to be shit? Like, am I better off just leaving my memory intact with the Resident Evil 2 remake and not really chancing this? And so, yeah, I decided to give it a go. And to be honest with you, I really enjoyed my playthrough with this game. We'll talk about some of those things that I really enjoyed. I think Jill, the character herself, was a lot more fleshed out and sort of, you know, made human as opposed to the original. So that's nice. It's always nice when you have a protagonist you can get behind and you're like, yeah, you know, she's cool, whatever, I enjoy playing as her. Carlos was more expanded on versus the original. He was this kind of cheesy line merchant in the original. He's much expanded on in this game, and yeah, definitely way better. So those two aspects I really enjoyed. I think Raccoon City had a different vibe to the second remake, so that was nice too. It felt very lifelike, to be quite honest with you. You're sort of, this game, you're more in the city streets, I suppose you could say, so it's a lot more urban versus Resident Evil 2, set mainly in the police station. So in this game, you kind of go through a lot of different locations in a very short amount of time. One of the locations I hated, and I wish they'd just do away with them in video games, is the sewer levels. Who wants them? Who asks for them? They sort of hit you with a sewer level pretty quick in this game too. They're like, bam, there you go, son. Enjoy. And I can't really get behind the sewer levels, lads. Is there ever a good sewer level, really? I think they'll make their own episode in the future, the sewer level. Because there's just a really shitty thing. Like, you know what to expect from a sewer level before you even get into it. It's like, right, I'm going to fight some type of weird frog bad guy. I'm going to have, like, levers that change water levels. Everything's going to be blue, green, grey. Mainly green, grey, brown, actually. And it's just going to be an A to B fetchy kind of, you're going to be going around and, ugh, I hate sewer levels. I was annoyed to see them make the cut in this game. What I will say is they didn't stay too long, which was great. One of my favourite areas in the game was the hospital. I thought they did a really good job of making that feel like it had been through a zombie apocalypse. That's what this game does really well. It's like, this is a city in a zombie apocalypse. This is a well-realised environment, and it felt like that. And that was something that I used to feel in the original game, in the original Resident Evil 2. What made it feel so special was, oh, you remember this game in the mansion that was quiet and kind of, you know, isolated? Well, here you are in this build-up area. There's lots of zombies on screen. There's chaos. You can see the evidence of, like, people trying to flee, cars crashing, windows breaking, all that stuff. And so I think they replicated that really well in this game. And that was one of the highlights for me. It was just exploring the environment. It looked really beautiful and really well put together. So the environment for me was great. I really thought that was nice. But yeah, to go back to the hospital, some really spooky moments in the hospital. He plays Carlos and Jill there. Some truly frightening moments in there as well. And some fun moments. That's what Resident Evil 3, the original, was to me. A bit of fun. We're talking about the plot and Jill being more fleshed out and stuff, and Carlos being a little bit more fleshed out. Wasn't huge on the overall plot. Thought it was a bit crap. I thought the mercenaries were the stars, the umbrella guys, weren't very well fleshed out. They were just kind of there, and I feel like maybe that was a problem with the game, that it was rushed out a bit and they didn't really have time to flesh out the story properly. That is one thing that I would wonder about with the game, is that was it rushed to the point of it sacrificing on quality? Because sometimes it feels like it doesn't, and I think that's the Resident Evil engine carrying the game, honestly. I think, you know, it's a really good engine, the Resident Evil engine. It's not even the Resident Evil engine, it's the RE engine. And I don't even think that stands for Resident Evil, which is the funny thing about it. How confusing is that? Yeah, it's the Reach for the Moon engine, would you believe? I believe it was actually designed for Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. But yeah, how weird is that? That Capcom's engine, called the RE engine, that was made for a Resident Evil game, isn't the Resident Evil engine. How's about that for you? There's some trivia that you're never going to get asked ever. But yeah, what I wanted at the time was a quick game. 4 to 5 hours. No, was it 5 to 6 hours? I think it took me maybe 7. That's what I wanted. A linear narrative, something that was a bit different, a bit spooky, bit of action. I wouldn't say it's a brainless game by any means. It still has a little bit of that sort of Resident Evil puzzly stuff. It's not a puzzle heavy game. It has a little bit of stuff, very easy. It's not tough. You don't have to, it's not a game where you're going to be scratching your head looking up puzzle solutions or anything like that. But I did enjoy that it was a sort of a what you see is what you get game. It's kind of what I wanted. Now, had I have bought this game at release for 60, 70 bucks, would I be as appreciative of it? Maybe not. I might have actually changed it. I picked this game up for 20 quid and it had been sitting in my library for the longest time. Then I just heard, oh, there's a PS5 update out. So I went and checked it out with the HDR and all those nice features. And I'm super glad I did. I think anyone listening, if they haven't tried out any of the Resident Evils in recent years, they're definitely games that you should give a go. They're some of the leaders, really, in terms of franchises now. They're doing really good things. I think even if you start at Resident Evil 7, I think is a really good starting point. Even now, it works pretty well. I mean, yeah, it only has like 2 or 3 types of enemy. That does get a bit old, but overall, really good game as well. And I think the quality, Capcom's recent quality, shines through with this game. Is it perhaps the weakest since Resident Evil 7? Yeah, maybe. But that's still a pretty high bar that they've put out there. And I think that is where I'm not someone that would like agree or disagree with reviews or anything. I kind of try and make my own mind up unless a game is getting like 4 out of 10s or 5 out of 10s. I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not going to waste my time. But this game is getting a lot of like 6 out of 10s, and I totally disagree with that. Let's throw an 8 or 9 on it, lads. What are you talking about? Yeah, but there was parts cut. There was little bits in it that, you know, they could have done more with, and you kind of do feel like it was a little bit rushed. I think that did come through a little bit, and that was sad to see. But overall, I think it's a worthwhile play. Because the game is quite short, I'm not going to spend much longer talking about it here, guys. If you're into it, go and give it a look. If you can pick it up for cheap, all the better. Jill Valentine's lovely. Resident Evil 3 is deadly. Let's leave it at that. There's not much more I can say. Hope you've enjoyed this episode, folks. I will be doing more soon, so I want to get back into doing the news roundups and stuff like that. There's been a lot of news lately in video games, in the video game industry, but yeah, we'll get back to that pretty soon. So yeah, thanks for listening in the meantime. I am also really enjoying Cult of the Lamb at the minute, and I will have an episode about that out pretty soon, hopefully with a guest, a very good guest and a very good friend of mine. Hopefully that comes out soon. In the meantime, thanks for listening, guys. I've been Rob, Video Game Waffle, over and out.